Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. My name's Amanda Rocchio, previously Amanda Meichner. I am best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my husband, Chris Rocchio.
Hey, hey.
Today we're talking all about brain health and how to build a better brain. But before we get into today's episode, Chris is going to read a five-star review from one of our listeners.
Yeah, this is titled Highly Recommended. Master Your Health podcast is on a mission to educate and inspire their listeners to live a happier and healthier life. Hosts Chris and Amanda provide expert knowledge, science-based research, and amazing guests in every episode. This is a must-listen podcast.
Thank you so much for that podcast review. If you guys take a moment and leave us a review, it would mean so much to Chris and I. So like I said, today we're talking all about brain health and how to improve it. And the reality is our brain is really what sets us apart from other species, right? We're not the fastest. We're not the strongest. Mm-mm. But the brain is really what allowed us to advance all these years. So before we get into, you know, a lot of today's tips and all that good stuff, I wanted to share some fun facts about the brain that I looked up before this episode. So if you didn't know this, the adult brain weighs about 3 pounds. So that's going to vary by person. And it is a myth that humans only use 10% of our brain. I don't know where that myth got started, but we actually do use all of our brain. And we're even using more than 10% when we're asleep. So I don't know where that, maybe from that Limitless movie or something. I'm not sure where that came from.
Yeah.
So when you drain the brain of water, it's actually composed of about 60% of fat. And it's one of the fattest organs in the human body. See, fat isn't bad. Look at mm-hmm. the brain. It's like one of my favorite organs.
It's one of your favorite types of food, too.
Yes. And also, cholesterol is key to learning and memory, which I thought was interesting because we're always so afraid of cholesterol. And, you know, sometimes there's been thought of that cholesterol is the devil. Now, the reality is we do have like really high cholesterol that can cause a different effects on your body. And that will not be good for your brain. But we do need cholesterol in many functions. So it's the balance there.
Yeah. And it's really your LDL cholesterol. You need to, it's the ratio of HDL, LDL cholesterol. And even that, you have also two different types of LDL. We should do a podcast on that as well.
Yeah, so, probably. Right. But getting into some of the tips when it comes to building a better brain, Chris is going to kick off the episode with some tips to help us begin to build a foundation for a better brain and keep it there, you know, keep it at a high level.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing I want to go through is just mentally stimulate your brain. I mean, whatever way you want to do it, you can take courses. I mean, just something as easy as reading. You can try mental gymnastics like, you know, people play Sudoku or play strategy games. I really like strategy games. And you can also learn a new language. I know that I try to get on Duolingo every day and just do like 3 lessons or like 15 minutes just to kind of, I mean, because there's memory, there's pattern recognition, there's all these different elements in learning a new language. So depending on your level of challenge and what you like, then that's definitely one of the best things you can try for mental stimulation. And this is good because when you do this, you're stimulating new connections between nerve cells and you're developing neurological plasticity. And what plasticity means, it's basically the brain's ability to grow and adapt. And so the net effect of that is a more efficient cognitive function.
You know what I also consider mental stimulation, which you don't really think of it as that, is like meditation, because, you know, you're sitting there, you're trying to let your thoughts flow. So like each, like sitting there, the exercise of trying to sort through your thoughts and get to a place where you're meditating fully, like to me, that's absolutely, you're trying really hard.
I don't know. I mean, it kind of depends on your practice. I mean, yeah. Me personally, I wouldn't consider what I do, the small times that I actually do try to meditate, I wouldn't consider that mental stimulation, but I don't know. I don't know how you're practicing it. So
yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit more intense than what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also this goes to, there's so many, you know, great apps out there now. So, I mean, I know obviously reading a book, like you said, it's great to get off of technology, but it is nice that there are all these awesome apps. You can make it fun. I'm sure there's like some fun games if you look up like, you know, mental stimulation games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're not already doing something that you find mentally stimulating, those are some great options.
Yeah. And I also like, I mean, you know, obviously everybody likes a good fiction book to kind of lose themselves into the fantasy realm and things like that. But I don't know. I mean, I think that picking up a science book and something that describes the actual scientific world outside of your current realm of understanding So one of the books I liked to read back in the day was A Brief History of Time or The Universe in a Nutshell by Stephen Hawking, because, you know, you have your overall understanding of science and physics that you've retained over the years from your general education, but he applies some things and you're really trying to connect these concepts that you've either never heard before or you haven't heard for a couple decades. And so, I don't know, I like those type of books. And I think that actually might provide the mental stimulation and connecting things that you haven't done or haven't exercised in a long time. That might be a little bit different than just like reading a fiction book, but nonetheless, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I love reading educational books, but there's also like educational books that make it a little bit more fun where there's like a bunch of stories mixed in. I mean, I will say like Feeding You Lies was really fun for me to read by Vani Hari. I think I'm saying her name right. So you can kind of get a mix. You can find those books that have educational content, but also some stories mixed in.
Yeah.
Those are great too.
Yeah, I think that's an actual gift for some writers. Like another one I really like was Sean Stevenson's Sleep Smarter. That was just something that was just jam-packed with scientific information and explanation, but it was just written so well that I couldn't put it down. I mean, yeah. I got through that book in a week, and it was just, I actually probably want to read it again since I don't sleep very well. So
you're like anything to drill in your head to better sleep habits, but
absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. There's some ideas for, you know, getting in the groove. If, you know, you're not finding your current work, or maybe you have some time off work and you don't feel mentally stimulated.
Mm-hmm. So a second one that is really important is just getting exercise. And I mean, there's so many benefits for your brain alone. I mean, we've talked about a lot about physiological benefits, improving blood sugar and all these other things with exercise. But just in terms of the brain, I mean, you have a long list. So it improves learning and memory. It also increases plasticity, which I just talked about in the mental stimulation section. And when you exercise, you actually increase the number of tiny blood vessels that bring that oxygen-rich blood to the part of the brain that is responsible for thought. So that's another benefit as well. It also spurs the development of new nerve cells and increases the connections between brain cells. And this makes your brain more efficient, like I talked about with plasticity, and also makes it more adaptive. And so, again, translates to better performance as you age. And exercise also lowers blood pressure and improves cholesterol levels, helps blood sugar balance and reduces mental stress, all of which can help your brain and as well as your heart. And so, and not to mention also the ability to lower stress and anxiety, which is one of my main things. I always feel a little bit more anxious on my rest day when I have a lot to do than if I just do a little bit of a workout, even if it's like 15 minutes of movement and then go back to it. For some reason, it just kind of gets rid of that excess angst.
Yes. You know? I mean, actually, I have a jam-packed day today, so maybe that's a good idea. 15 minutes of exercise today because I really don't have the time.
Yeah, just do it intensely and then more bang for your buck. And then it actually has been shown to reduce feelings of depression and improve mood. And, you know, anecdotally, I know that's the case for me. And actually, what's crazy is that your brain starts to atrophy as early as 20 years old, which is insane to me. And so I got reminded of this fact on the Joe Rogan, Dr. Rhonda Patrick podcast. And which is always just like jam-packed with information. I love those podcasts. But yeah, that's just a really crazy fact that kind of startles people and surprises them. But your brain, if you don't continue to use it, it will start to atrophy. And so frequent exercise can reduce cognitive decline and brain disorders like dementia, Parkinson's, and ALS.
Yeah, honestly, I remember looking at the studies, like even the ones that kind of compared exercise to more like a mental stimulation game. Exercise, like the benefits of exercise definitely outweighed, you know, just playing like a mental stimulation game on your phone. But the great news is you can do both, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you had to pick one, I'm telling you, this is what I tell my dad, because my dad's, you know, like, I'll read books or I'll play these games. I'm like, Dad, the best thing you can do for your brain is to get some exercise. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. So I always try to hammer that in. You know, it's hard for people who haven't gotten the habit and they're, you know, 70 years old.
Yeah, trying to start that habit at 70 years old. Jesus.
Hey, I got my dad with the trainer right now, so that's been helpful. Get him going a little.
I know. He likes, you know, pleasing you, and so it's like...
Use that to my advantage for his own health.
Because you can tell in his voice, like, every time you're like, Dad, you need to see the trainer. He's like, yeah, I know, it would be great. But he's just not stoked at all.
I'm looking out for him. Hey, he looked out for me. So moving on to our next tip on the list would be to improve your diet. I mean, you know, here at Master Health, we're one of our biggest foundation is nutrition. So we're going to always hammer that home, but it definitely applies to your overall health, but also brain health in this case. And like we said, you know, in the past, we really encourage you to eat a variety that comes from mostly whole foods. But in terms of also like looking into some of the research, there's a lot of good research on people who eat a Mediterranean style diet. So Mediterranean style diet emphasizes fruits, vegetables, fish, nuts, unsaturated oils like olive oil, and plant sources of proteins. And the Mediterranean style diet has definitely been linked to lower issues when it comes to cognitive impairment. And, you know, you're less likely to have dementia. So all those things have been shown in the research in conjunction with eating a Mediterranean style diet, which is close to basically what we promote overall. So overall, your diet can drastically affect your mood, your focus, your decision-making ability, stress management, memory, and concentration. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you eat like a heavy meal or like, you know, all the low quality oils and salt, like you don't feel good afterwards. You
feel lethargic.
Yeah, lethargic. My brain isn't firing like as well in my mind. I mean, I don't know if it's that exact, but that's how I feel sometimes. So really getting a high quality diet rich in a variety of proteins, micronutrients, and healthy fats will really help you stay healthy long term and help your brain health long term. Also, you know, eating a diet that doesn't support our health, you know, can really take a toll on our body long term. So you want to minimize some of those foods. So yes, treat yourself in moderation, but don't be eating a lot of foods every day that are highly processed, that are full of these inflammatory oils. All of that is going to lead to issues long term. You even find in the bodybuilding world, you know, people will be tracking their calories and like, yeah, they look a certain way, but if their food every day is not like mostly nutritious, you know, I've heard of them running into different health issues. So it's not just about body size. It's very much about actually eating for health and a flourishing body and mind.
Right.
The brain is also an energy intensive organ. It uses around 20% of the body's calories. So it really needs good fuel to maintain concentration throughout the day. So yeah, when you're eating, your brain is, you know, you could thank your brain for using a lot of that fuel. You also want to make sure you're getting in some healthy fats because like I said earlier, the brain is composed of a majority of fats. So fats are really thought of as brain fuel. I mean, they're not the only fuel, but that's one of the main reasons why, you know, you're encouraged to eat fats or even like, you know, MCT oil is very hot right now. So all those things, make sure you're incorporating that into your diet. The brain also requires certain nutrients to stay healthy. Omega-3 fatty acids, for example, help build and repair brain cells. And antioxidants reduce cellular stress and inflammation, which are linked to brain aging, neurodegenerative disorders such as Alzheimer's. So that's why omega-3s are very much touted in the community. And we say, you know, if you're not eating fatty fish, that's one of those areas you definitely want to supplement in. So how can you incorporate more omega-3 fatty acids into your diet naturally? Well, that would be, like I said, oily fish. So that would include salmon, trout, herring, sardines, one of Chris's favorites. I don't know about favorites, but he makes it a staple.
I think I just incorporated it.
You just incorporated for the health benefits.
Like as in strategically.
Mackerel and then salmon roe, which is salmon eggs. So it's like pink. It looks like pink, light pink caviar, basically. So from that, you really want to get a combination of EPA and DHA from your omega-3s. So you want to get both of those. And omega-3s, like I said a bit earlier, is shown to reduce inflammation. You get a lower risk of Alzheimer's and will improve memory, mood, clarity, and focus. So if you can, you know, it's nice to get some of that from your diet and not just supplementation, but don't be afraid to supplement in this area.
Right.
Eggs are also a great source of vitamins and minerals. So it has B vitamins, folic acid, and choline. Again, those all help in brain function.
And omega-3s.
Yep, there you go. And like I said earlier, there's different types of healthy fats you want to include. So that could be avocados, nuts, extra virgin olive oil. Chris is Italian, so he loves his extra virgin olive oil.
I bathe in it.
You kind of do. And also, so nuts have choline, which is a precursor to acetylcholine, which helps with drive and focus. I mean, I'll take that any day. I mean, there's nothing like, I love having a handful of nuts in the morning. Sometimes I just have nuts before my workout because, you know, it's filling, but it doesn't weigh you down. You know, pistachios are one of my favorites currently.
I'm a huge fan of like steak and nuts before a workout.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you also want to incorporate some cruciferous vegetables and greens. So don't forget about those. antioxidant rich foods like cacao, berries, all of that. They help to reduce oxidative stress. So we're a huge fan of berries in this household.
They don't last long.
Like they really don't. I'm like, you need to share a little bit. No, mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. You do. But
yeah, sometimes Amanda needs to hide them or like pretend that they're for a shoot so I don't touch them. But then, you know, I just realize that they're not for a shoot. She's just warning me so I don't Bogart them.
Also magnesium rich foods like spinach, black beans, avocado, pumpkin seeds, almonds, all of that are really helpful to add to your diet. And this will also help with quality sleep, cortisol reduction, stress management, brain function, and mood. So definitely make sure to get some magnesium in. And if you don't think you're getting enough, that's also another area you could supplement in.
Yeah, magnesium is crucial for all types of things, like she just said. But one of the main things that I like to do is I like to take it just after a workout. And I take it in the form of either magnesium glycinate or magnesium citrate. And then taking it before bed. And I take that in the form of magnesium 3 and 8. So that's the compound that's touted to be, you know, more geared towards your brain and brain health and things like that. But now moving on to the next point is improving your blood pressure. So high blood pressure in midlife increases the risk of cognitive decline in old age. So some people, you know, do this by lifestyle. Some people use medication to lower their blood pressure. So obviously here in Master Your Health, Amanda and I are always about improving this through lifestyle. But nonetheless, if you can't do that, if you're, you know, genetically predisposed, or if you just naturally have high blood pressure, say you're just wound too tight or whatever, and you need a little bit of medication to get you over that crutch while you're working on lifestyle factors, you know, it's kind of like the way people do it with antidepressants and then kind of wean off, by all means do it. But the main thing is actually getting that blood pressure down, and that has numerous benefits, not just brain health. And so, you know, in order to do this, you know, you stay in shape, exercise regularly, limit your alcohol to 2 drinks a day. I would even think that just...
Yeah, I was like, 2 drinks a day? That's a lot.
I know. I was reading this on the Harvard website, and that's what one of the things they said.
But I mean, I guess that's like your maximum for sure. But anyways, we would like to see that down a little bit more.
Yeah,
maybe like again, 1 drink a day at max.
Or just 2 drinks a week. You know? But and reduce stress and eat right, like we talked about before.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, obviously stress can like increase your blood pressure. So
yeah,
any of that. I mean, now that things are starting to open back up, maybe I can get you to take some hot yoga with me again.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, I'm going to be going through recovery for surgery here in a little bit. So, I mean, that kind of low intensity exercise is going to be pretty crucial for about a month.
Nice.
So I'm about to have hernia surgery and they told me I can't lift over 10 pounds and I'm about to lose my freaking mind.
I'm just using this podcast episode to drag Chris to a yoga class with me. Now you guys have to hold him accountable. Thank you.
You know, another thing you can do is just work on breath work to improve blood pressure. Just if you find yourself kind of wound up too tight, just take a breather, make sure you're breathing into your diaphragm, things like that. That can actually settle some things down. And I know that actually I was just at the doctor the other day and I was wound up too tight about something, you know, personal going on or whatever. And the nurse actually took my blood pressure twice. When I first went in there, and then it was kind of a weird reading, so she did it again. And in between, I had actually calmed down. I was like breathing. I took some deep breaths and, you know, actually mindfully calmed myself down. And my blood pressure actually improved between those two readings. So,
well, that's pretty funny. I guess you get a little more tense than
well,
me.
Well, like I said, I idle at a 7, you know? So like, I mean, that's just where I am in terms of like intensity.
You know what I also do? I do like the 4-count breath. Sometimes I try to, it doesn't always work at night. Like if I'm for some reason stressing about something during the day, it calms me down a little, but not enough to get my mind off whatever. But the 4-count breath is, 1, 2, 3, 4 in. And then you hold for 4 seconds, out for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, easy one to remember and just add in for a few seconds or a couple times a day.
Yeah. I mean, just doing it for like a minute or two is you can notice the difference. All right. So next one on the list is improving blood sugar and insulin sensitivity. And we've talked about insulin sensitivity and blood sugar on this in terms of relations to being overweight, diabetes, things like that. But it also has an effect on brain health. I mean, diabetes is an important risk factor for dementia. And obviously, like we talked about before, you can prevent diabetes by eating right, exercising regularly, staying lean. But if your blood sugar stays high, you'll need medication to achieve good control.
Well, what's that one? I know there's a good amount of research on metformin. I mean, you could talk to your doctor about that one if you're still struggling or you want to use that, like I said, temporarily to get it in check. Mm-hmm. And again, of course, Chris is talking about type 2 diabetes because type 1, there's no cure. But you can still with type 1, you can do a lot of stuff to like make sure you're healthier overall and like your blood sugar levels are a lot more stable. So you're using less insulin and all of that.
Right.
So next on the list is a big one. I'm sure many of us don't do this, but I do. I still have some friends that smoke tobacco. So big one on our list, avoid tobacco. So the reality is if you're still smoking, don't worry about anything on this list. Focus on quitting smoking because that's the single best thing you can do for your brain health and your overall health at the moment. And yes, this includes vape pens. So I do think people kind of get caught up in like, oh, vape pens, you know, they might have less of those carcinogens than some of the cigarettes, but there's still, you know, there's one, there's not a lot of long-term research on it, but two, there's still, you know, you run into similar issues that you'd run with smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So while that might be slightly better, you know, using it as a reason to smoke even more than you were before is not gonna, you know, end you in a good place. So definitely take the time to, you know, use a nicotine patch or whatever you need to do, you know, maybe get a coach because this is super important. We really want you feeling your best. And this is top on your list if you're still smoking cigarettes.
Absolutely.
Another one, which we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, was don't abuse alcohol. So, you know, excessively drinking is a major risk factor for dementia. I know I heard another, like brain doctors I hear talk about this all the time. Like overconsumption of alcohol is like borderline, like poison for the brain. Okay, that's maybe a little bit of an extreme statement, but it really does do damage over time. So really like limit yourself or find that balance for you. Everyone's different. I mean, I think Chris and I are not what most people, like we're a bit of an anomaly. Like we rarely ever drink. You don't need to go that far, but you know.
Yeah, I think I've had a couple glasses of wine this year so far. Like seriously, two?
It's just not in our habit. I mean, Chris is Italian, so he does like to follow some of the traditions and he loves, you know, incorporating some red wine, but, you know, it's just not really a habit for us. But I totally get if that's, you know, something you like in your life. Like, I mean, I do consume a lot of caffeine or probably more than I should. So we all have the things that we like, but just, you know, monitor it and make sure, you know, you're approaching it with a balanced mindset.
It is keep in mind that when you are drunk and you go to sleep, your sleep quality is also drastically decreased.
That's
right?
True. It feels better because you fall asleep faster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can go to sleep for 12 hours, but that doesn't mean you're getting quality sleep for all of that. So if you're passing out, that's going to put you in a deficit for sleep. And then obviously there's effects on mood, effects on blood sugar, all these different things that, you know, could be a kind of a domino effect.
Well, I just have to say a huge deterrent for me for drinking is being hungover. I hate being hungover. It's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. And now back in the day I used to, it was almost like I didn't notice the difference because it was kind of a norm, but now like I'm just miserable.
I also feel like when you're younger though, you can tolerate it a little bit better.
Well, like I said, I think it's because you don't know the difference.
That's true. Yeah. Like if you really understood, and then once you get healthy, that's what I was saying. The healthier it got, I was like, I can't go back to this overall.
Yeah. All right. So next on the list is getting your mind right. So
you love that phrase.
Well, absolutely. Because I mean, it just sums it up so perfectly. But people who are anxious, depressed, sleep deprived, or exhausted tend to score poorly on cognitive function tests. And these poor scores don't necessarily predict an increased risk of cognitive decline in old age. But good mental health and restful sleep are certainly important goals. So what do we mean by getting your mind right? I mean, it's really just like we talked about, is getting your sleep in order so you're not so tired and cranky and moody throughout the day. Your cognitive function's on point. If you have thoughts of depression or anxiety, it's addressing those with meditation or even therapy, things like that. It's whatever it is that you think is decreasing your overall efficiency in the day. And if it happens up top and it happens in your head, then you really have to address those issues. I mean, I don't know if you remember, if you guys have been listening since the beginning, but Amanda asks a question on our podcast to every guest. And that's like, what's the one thing that you think that you need to kind of prioritize in this, you know, health space? And my answer was getting your mind right, because and mine was a little bit more widespread. I mean, I was talking about, you know, what are your motivations? What are your goals? What's your purpose? it encompassed that, but it also encompassed the idea of addressing your anxiety, addressing your depression, your anger, your angst, all these different things that are kind of skewing you from having an objective, like healthy frame of mind.
Absolutely. Yes. If you feel yourself consumed with negative thoughts, you know, that would be a clear indication that you need to try some of these different methods, whether it's like therapy, like Chris said. You know, I love my gratitude journal. I just ordered another one because I finished that whole 5-minute journal where I write in every day, like, what are 3 things I'm grateful for? What are 3 things I want to accomplish today? And I write down some affirmations. So any of that stuff, you know, there's journaling techniques, you know, whatever is accessible to you to help get your mind right, you know, utilize those tools. There's even online therapy right now. So, I mean, especially with COVID, it's kind of cool. Telemed was already there, but because of COVID, it kind of like I see a lot more people using that, but which is great if you're super busy, but still want to see a therapist, you can like video chat them. So there's a lot of options for you. You just kind of have to figure out, you know, what are your main issues and then go after that.
Right.
So next on our list is to build strong social ties, which probably felt weird during quarantine because, I mean, you know, obviously we're video chatting our friends and all of that, but the world was not as open to meet people.
No.
But, you know, make sure this is still a priority in your life. So building strong social ties have been associated with a lower risk of dementia, lower blood pressure, and longer life expectancy. So the reality is we're social creatures, right? I'm a workaholic, so I kind of like deny myself of that fact when I know really at the end of the day, I love hanging out with my friends. I'm not like a large group type of person. I mean, I'll do it, but you know, I definitely like a couple close friends now and, you know, have intimate conversations, but It's really important. Don't neglect that. You know, I mean, I had to neglect it a little bit more when I was starting to build my business. But now that we're in more of a flow, I'm able to find that balance. And it's super important for your health too. Like, I know, like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm just being frivolous. But it's really important to, you know, have that social connection.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with blue zones, but these are areas of the world, geographical locations where you have an abnormally high life expectancy, right? And a lot of people try to attribute this to certain genetic variations or things like that of the ethnicity in the region. But other people actually attribute it to kind of this social tie element, right? Like for instance, I only know about this because I'm Italian and somebody brought this up to me, but one of the theories was in Sardinia is one of these locations, right? And one of the theories is, and Sardinia is an island off the coast of Italy. But one of the theories was that they have this strong social bond and like this sense of community. Like, so if anybody in the community is hurting in terms of, you know, health-wise or financially, the whole community is there to support. You know, it's not just like you have this nuclear family and that's your support group. And then everybody else, like even your neighbors are no longer like, I mean, I know even in Los Angeles, I can pass by neighbors and say hello and they will not respond. Like people are just see you as another number in a city with a 10 million people or whatever. So that sense of having this connection with the greater community around you, I mean, obviously this is just a theory, but I think that is plays a huge role in your feeling of comfort and security. I mean, if you talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the sense of security is one of the lowest basis needs that you need, right? Needs that you need, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's fundamental and you can't get to a point of self-actualization unless you feel secure.
Absolutely. And like I said, I had to remind myself that taking time to hang out with friends is important.
And that's important for her because she's a workaholic like crazy.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love what we do. What we do is fun, but yeah. Balance, baby.
There is no balance in her life. It's completely imbalanced. No, I'm just playing. It's she actually makes more of an effort to reach out to her friends and go hang out even in her busy schedule. So
I do. I've gotten better over time.
So last thing we're going to talk about here is a health hack that we really like, and that is sauna. So, or more scientifically termed as hyperthermic conditioning. And these have a bunch of neurological benefits. I mean, it has neuroendocrine effects. I mean, you have an increased release of norepinephrine and also the storage of it to use later. And norepinephrine is really crucial for like focus and attention and all that. You also have increases in prolactin, particularly in women. And one of the things it does is it helps connections between neurons so your brain can function faster, essentially. It also increases the expression of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is, you know, neurogenesis, like new brain cells. So that's a crucial thing, and reduced risk of dementia. And we talked about all the benefits of the sauna in a particular podcast that has its own title. So you should go back and check that out, because that has an unbelievable amount of benefits. You'd be surprised.
And actually now what we have at home right now is one of those like sauna tents. I don't know what this is called, a sauna tent or portable sauna. If you look on Amazon, we can link out in the show notes too, but
it's an infrared sauna.
Yeah. So it's like a little square box you basically like sit in, your head's out. Obviously, eventually, ideally, you know, you use a full sauna sometimes at the gym. But yeah, that's an option for you if you don't have one at your gym or something, or don't have access to it. Some of them are pretty cheap on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, you can get them for like $500, something like that.
I think some are $150.
Oh, really?
The $500 ones have lower EMFs.
Yeah.
But right. You can get one for like $150, $200.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just wouldn't, I don't know. I'd much rather pay for the quality or whatever. Yeah, I really ours, you know, but.
No, $500 is not bad compared to like the full sauna.
Yeah.
The full sauna is like $2,000 or at least.
Yeah. And especially if you use it several times a week, it has its benefits. I use it every rest day if I have the time. So, and what's great is like with this type, you can actually, it's got little zippers for your arms to come out and your head's out, so you can like do some work and things like that. So it's really nice.
Yeah. I actually used it last night.
Oh, beautiful.
Anyways, thank you guys for tuning into today's episode. We hope you got some tips for building a better brain. And as you can see, a lot of these will also improve your overall health. So double win. I know I do a lot of things like in mind with my brain because, I don't know, I always think about it. I mean, that's probably one of my number one priorities when it comes to my health. Any like brain supplement I get, I don't even know. Like some of them I feel like might not even be that well researched, but I'm like,
If she passes up a brain supplement on a shelf, I have to like slap her hand to not get it. Because
you're like, you don't know the research on that one. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I just want it. But yeah, I hope you found today's episode valuable. Chris really took the time to put a lot of these notes together.
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of separate it because I started getting into the weeds about specific brain disorders. And so if you guys are interested in that, if you are interested in like the dementia or Alzheimer's or things like that, we can have a doctor come on and explain a lot of that and kind of get into more of the in-depth. We just wanted to give you some action points and some things that you can change in your life today. But if you are interested in these specific brain disorders, then, you know, reach out to us, let us know you'd like to hear this, and we can make it a separate episode.
Yep. Again, you can find me on Instagram at MeowMikes, and then Chris is at Chris.Rocchio. So let us know what other episodes you'd like to see, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Yep. See ya.
Bye.